Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, Christmas time to come in, and I know I'm going.
Oh, magnify the Lord with me. Let us exalt his name together. It's Tuesday, December 8th, 2015. And if you were tuned in yesterday, you're back for more because I have Todd and Val Cabe along with Justin, Abby, Tyler, and Audrey available for today, the Tuesday edition of Mark and Friends. And there was so much to your story. And we didn't get to share about the love story, why you have this large family, seven children, the unique orphanage that you're raising funds for. You've been associated with this orphanage in Mexico for a number of years.
Since 2008.
Yeah. 2008, and then currently serving on the board just within this last year. And so before we get into some of the specifics of this live nativity that's happening on the 18th and 19th, I'm going to have you, Val, share a little of this love story because we didn't get a chance yesterday. And with seven children and now I think nearing your 24th year?
24 years in February.
So where did you two meet? And was it love at first sight? Nothing like putting you on the spot. Welcome to the thousands of listeners that are tuned in.
Right.
But your children were all glowing when I said, hey, maybe we'll talk a little about the love story. And I don't know if it was Abby or Audrey, they were like, bring up the Dairy Queen and the blue eyes. So I kind of wanted to hear about that.
Yeah, no, we grew up in the same town, but we didn't go to the same high schools. We grew up in the same church town, but went to different high schools. And
that was Cisna Park, right?
Yeah, Todd went to Cisna Park High School. I went to Hoopston High School. But we knew each other. Our families knew each other. But we started dating. Oh, I don't know. How do I start here? I was still in high school, and Todd had moved out to Oregon and came back. When he got back, we happened to run into each other at the Dairy Queen and Cisna, and this is the part the kids like. But he said to me, oh, you know, hi, Val, just wondering, are you dating anybody? And I, you know, said no. He says, oh, with those pretty blue eyes, you don't have a boyfriend? And, of course, I was melted and whatever. And so then.
That's a pretty good line, Todd. I'm thinking there's some 18, 19, 20-year-olds writing that one down right now. In fact, Justin's thinking, maybe I'm going to use that someday.
Yeah, he's always pretty smooth.
So you're about 18, 19 at that time?
And, yeah.
I was
a senior in high school.
Okay, so 17-ish, and then you're about 21?
17 and 20.
Okay, 17 and 20.
Somewhere in that range.
Now, you had been away. What took you to Oregon? Was that with the family or work or school?
Actually, from the time I was 5 years old, I had a dream of moving to Oregon and becoming a fisherman. And so when I graduated from high school, I have a sister that lives in Oregon. She'd lived out there for years. So I made the decision to go out there. I was out there for 15 months. And I was working at the time at a local co-op in Silverton, Oregon. And through a series of things and God beginning to start working in my life, I felt like it was time to move back to home. My dad was hurt in a farming accident. He got part of his hand cut off. So that's what brought me back to Illinois at that time. And shortly after I got back, I walked into the Dairy Queen.
And there she was.
There she was.
Okay, so you're back in the area. Now, I think you said you both came to Christ around this age of 18 or 19, or for you, around 20 or so?
Yeah, what we did, Mark, is we started dating at that time. That was in November. We dated for about 9 months and really felt like saw a special bond there between Bell and I. At the time, we were not Christians, and we had some fair amount of communication about that.
Now, wait, what do you mean? Between yourselves, or that Christ is an important thing, or a religious affiliation?
We knew that we needed God and Christ in our lives.
Okay.
We knew that, and we knew that we did not have that.
Now, was that because of parents modeling that, or knowing other Christians? Like, what influenced you to even entertain the idea that maybe there was a God that cared or wanted to have you start a faith journey with him?
Yeah, we were taught that. We were taught growing up that we were sinners and that we needed to find Jesus through repentance and really realizing who we are not and what we are, and that through the shed blood of Jesus we can find salvation. And we both were aware of that, so we had some communication. And through that process, we both made the decision to serve the Lord. And in that decision, we also felt that it would be best if we seek God on our own individually. So at that point, we kind of both went on a faith journey of really seeking the Lord individually So we kind of stopped dating at that. We did stop dating at that point.
Now, was there somebody meant? I mean, that's a very mature kind of viewpoint, because you're probably falling in love. There's hormones. There's attractions. I mean, you probably liked each other, but to kind of determine, and maybe this is good that your children are here in the studio too, hearing this, but that you kind of had some good boundaries in there to say, Lord, you know, were you feeling like, gosh, we're kind of in love, but we really need to settle or grow in our relationships with God before we'd come together? I mean, what
exactly
motivated?
We okay. felt like, you know, if we were going to put Christ first, then we really needed to know that our relationship was what God wanted. And so we needed to kind of separate and pray through that. And, you know, we were baby Christians and we were just kind of feeling our way. So we felt like it was really important to put that space there and really know, is our relationship what God wants?
Now, how hard was that?
That was pretty hard. But we felt like it was the right thing.
Right, right.
And so that was really what, and that was an example that we had seen other people do too. It wasn't really like a totally new concept to us. And so it had been modeled, and we knew that if we were supposed to be together, we would be. Mm-hmm. You know, we knew that God would direct us that way if that was His will for us. So, yeah, that was a year or so that we were able to grow and pray and, you know, seek God's will. And then after that time, we both could feel that God was calling us together. So then we were married about, a year and a half after that, probably. Mm-hmm. And, yeah, shortly after we got married, then we started our family. And we've been blessed, very blessed, with seven children.
Yeah,
so.
I think you said on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, Todd, that you grew up in a family. There were 12 of you, right?
Yes, that's correct. I was the youngest of 12 children, and plus my mom and dad, who celebrated, my mom passed away, but they had celebrated 60 years of marriage.
Wow. So. And then, Val, you had, there were six of you, six children in
right.
your family, and I think that was one of your early conversations is, if we're going to have children or have a large family, let's start right away. And then I think for the next, let's see, seven children. So for the next 8 or 9 years, I think, boom, 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 you know, just active family, right?
Yep.
I mean, so.
We felt like, too, that we wanted to put that in God's hands. I come from a large family. I had a lot of nieces and nephews, and Val came from a large family. So with that natural thought process, we felt like if God blessed us with a large family, we would be very thankful for it. Mm-hmm. And so that's been very special for us.
Well, this very family, along with some other relatives, are going to be a part of a special event on December 18th and 19th. We talked all about it on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, but there's going to be a live nativity. It's happening in Loda. It's from 6 to 8 p.m., like I said, Friday, December 18th, and Saturday, December 19th. I think it's a whole family event, but you have the community involved and friends and neighbors. This is going to include a lot of different animals, and it's going to be kind of a drive-through, a very unique way so people can remain in their cars. They'll pull up to this property, this farm in Loda, and kind of slowly pull into the barn and stop and pause and take it all in. And there'll be people in costumes and the animals. So a very live nativity. And so in just a minute, we're going to talk about the unique aspect of this where people can help fund an orphanage in Mexico because you have a real heart and passion and your children and you have all served in this orphanage. But tell us how it kind of came about. I mean, you were thinking this would be kind of a neat thing to do someday, and then someday came rather quickly.
Right, yeah. Well, Dad a lot of times has big ideas, so we let him talk, and we know that someday it may happen, but just really worked out this year, made sense, and the logistics all came together, so yeah, we're pretty excited about it. But one thing we do really want to stress is that admission is free, totally free. Come, bring your kids, enjoy it, take it in, you know, reflect upon Christ's birth, and the donation, that's if you feel moved. Yeah, so we just really want to stress that admission is free.
Yeah, just come out with the family, friends, enjoy it, and if you so feel moved. Now, will there be literature about this orphanage in Mexico, the English version? Again, I still don't have it from yesterday's edition, Mark and Friends, but House of Life and Hope. What is it called, Todd?
Casa Vida y Esperanza.
Okay.
In Spanish.
Which means House of Life and Hope.
That's correct.
And you've had an affiliation there for a number of years, right?
Yes, that's correct. The orphanage itself was started in the early 2000s. Our church was very involved in that. And one of the models at the beginning was to create more of a smaller orphanage. So as these children, these disadvantaged children would come in, that we would try to model a family atmosphere and try to help them develop. And so what we've done in Mexico with this orphanage, or what God's done, it is God's orphanage, is we have about 4 to 7 children per home. And then we try to find a young couple, preferably Spanish-speaking, of course, that model in that home so that these children can be taken care of, their emotional needs, their physical needs, and their spiritual needs, that they can learn about God and they can learn what love. By watching a husband and a wife model a family or model love for each other can exemplify God's love for us so that they can begin to see God in a way through a relationship so they can really understand that and to grow and to break that cycle of generational things that just continue to break down families and create hardships and heartaches for young children.
I know what we were talking about on yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, the importance of the relationships and that they're ongoing. And I know, Justin, you've, I think, served 5 or 7 different times over the years where you've gone down and got to interact with the same kids or the people. How many times have you been there?
Yeah, I've actually been down there 8 or 9 times.
8 or 9 times.
Over the years, yeah. And it's a real privilege for me just to go down every year, meet the kids. You know, right when you pull in the driveway, you know, some of them come running out. You haven't seen them for a year. You know, it's just a really big blessing.
Yeah, I think your dad was saying where the children, like in many cases, that have, whether they've been abused or have felt abandoned or have seen hardship throughout their lives, when there's some consistency, like the same person returns the second time and the third time, they start maybe for the first time really feeling loved or cared for.
Right.
There's a permanence here. And so you've gotten to do that for many years. And what I'm excited to announce, I didn't know this yesterday, but you're a relatively new follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. I think it was just this past May or June.
In July.
Yep,
so
where
about 6 months ago.
You kind of said, okay, Lord, I want to follow you. I want to grow in this faith journey. And off here, we had just a little conversation about it, but that's kind of exciting times when you launch into, like, Lord, I need you. Most of us can really figure out that we're fallen, we're sinful, we make mistakes. I mean, I don't think there'd be many listeners, even the hardcore atheists that's maybe tuned in, they realize that something's not right with this world. There are things or tendencies, we make poor choices. But beyond that, you recognize that there was a Savior who loved you and cared for you. How did that come into your mind and heart? Was it through reading Scripture, your mom and dad modeling Christianity? Was it a youth pastor? What helped you come to the point where you said, you know, Lord Jesus, I'm going to try as a 17-year-old to my best ability to follow and serve you. But how's that look? Because that's been so long for me. I'm trying to remember back.
Right.
What was I thinking as a 17-year-old? Because for me, it was around the age of 11 or 12 I was sharing where I recognized I needed a Savior. I said, Lord, come into my heart. And I knew that eternity was secure for me, and I was going to follow Him, and He was worthy to be worshipped and praised. And not that I've always lived it perfectly, but my desire and hope is, like King David, just to do the best.
Yep,
of course, he was very flawed. So what's going on in your mind in this new faith journey you're on?
You know, through the years, I've had parents and family and friends, you know, that have a really strong faith. And I knew that one day I wanted to be like them and follow their ways. I actually had a girlfriend before, you know, for about 6 months or so. And she actually started to be a Christian the same time I did. So we kind of went through that journey together. And kind of like mom and dad's story, you know, we both realized that we needed to kind of take our own ways and really focus on one thing, and that was following the Lord.
Yeah.
Through the journey, there's definitely been struggles. You know, there's struggles with everything.
Yeah.
And going through school and my senior year, and there's a lot of temptations and thoughts and stuff, but you just got to work through it. And in the end, you know, it's all going to be worth it.
Yeah, so there's that kind of that maturity or that sanctification process. We were all talking about that, but it's sometimes easy to recognize you need a Savior because we know we're flawed and fallen.
Absolutely.
But then there's like the Lordship issue. Okay, Lord, you're not just going to be overseeing my life, you know, on Sundays. I mean, Monday through Saturday, and there's that practice where people kind of open up their whole body, if you will, like, Lord, I want you in this room, in my thought life, you know, in my athletic athletic abilities into all that, what, Colossians 3:23, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart as working for the Lord, not for men. And so it's kind of like giving over. And at 17, I'm just thinking, you know, probably Val and Todd, for you and I, it's like 17, what was it even like back in there?
Right.
But, well, it's the best decision you could ever make in your life, Justin, and you'll have the Lord not only as a companion and as a guide, but how the Holy Spirit will work through you. And it's an exciting journey. There's never a dull moment, and you always have that inspiration of God looking out for you and yet learning to surrender and walk in cadence with his leading, because he still allows us to make sometimes poor choices, but he's always there to redeem that situation or that circumstance. So, well, exciting 17-year-old following the Lord. You got a bright future ahead of you. Trust me. All right. Hey, we got to turn over to two other missionaries, young missionaries here that have been a part of this special orphanage in Mexico. And why we're bringing this into the conversation is because this live nativity scene is happening on Friday night, December 18th, and Saturday the 19th. It's from 6 to 8 p.m. in Loda, Illinois. It's going to be like a drive-through live nativity scene with animals and costumed individuals sharing the nativity story, that good hope message that Jesus Christ came and that he has that redemptive plan for all of us that will surrender and follow him. And so you can see that in your car as you drive through the farm in Loda. If you need more information, let me give you a phone number and then I'll give you the address for those of you with GPS or cell phones, and you can just type it in and then find yourself there in Loda on December 18th and 19th. But you can call 815-457-2737. That's 815-457-2737. And the address for the live nativity scene in Loda is 170 North 800 East Road. And that's in Loda, Illinois. I don't think you have to put in the zip code on GPSs. So Loda, Illinois, 170 North, 800 East. And find yourself there between 6 and 8 p.m. on December 18th and 19th. Okay, so we have a few more minutes here. Let's talk a little more about this orphanage in Mexico, because there's going to be an opportunity for you to make a free will offering when you show up to the live nativity. But say somebody can't make it, and they tuned in yesterday, and they were excited about the program, about the work that's being done for these children in Mexico. Can they mail in a donation? Is there a way for them to say, hey, I can't be there, but I want to give $50. I want to give $25. How could they send that in or contact you?
Sure. Yeah, that would be much appreciated. That same address, it can be sent to that same address. It would be Nathan Cabe and then 170 North, 800 East Road, Loda, Illinois, 60948. So.
Okay, 60948, 170 North, 800 East Road, Loda, Illinois, and it was
60948.
60948.
Right.
All right. Okay.
Yep.
So, Abby, right?
Yeah.
All right,
yeah.
Abby. Okay. Abby, you've been on these mission trips, I think, a few times, right?
Yeah.
And you've built those relationships with the children, and so I think you want to go again. Is that right?
We're going back in January, so we're all excited.
Okay, back in January. And what do you hope to accomplish, or what I would say to somebody, how do you hope that God would work in and through you? Deep thought for a 14-year-old.
One thing is, whenever you go down there, the thought process lots of times is, I'm ready to help, or I'm ready to get something done. But when you get down there, you realize that you're going to be the one getting refreshed or
blessed through the situation.
Yeah, blessed through the situation. And it's always really neat to go down there and to feel like ready to come back, and you really feel inspired. Or you go and you see what the kids have been through and how they are getting out of their situations and how positive their attitudes are or how much they've grown, and you feel inspired to be able to come back and really
like where it puts things in perspective, where yeah. you're thinking, wow, they've suffered through all this and look at how healthy or how they're managing it, and I might be uncomfortable with this silly little thing. It sometimes will put things yeah. into perspective. And,
yeah.
and like I think you had said before, you come back like energized or encouraged or blessed as a result of serving. I think that's a tendency when we're starting to feel negative about life or about ourselves or situations, we need to go out and serve. And then that's just how God calibrates us or recalibrates us to say, gosh, you know, I am valuable and look at these ways I can serve and help others. So, well done as a 14-year-old missionary. And last but not least, Audrey, you're going to be returning down there, I think, maybe this next year or two?
Actually, I'm not going to be going this year on the mission trip,
okay.
but I did go last year. And, yeah, it was really good.
And so what would you say to other 12-year-olds that are thinking about serving in missions? And they say, but I'm too young, I can't do it. What would you say to them?
Well, it's just really good to go down there and experience a little bit of what they're going through.
Mm-hmm.
And just realize that it helps put things in perspective. Like, you can just see their excitement when you go down more than once mm-hmm. and... just like that, you really care about
yeah,
them.
Yeah, care is shown oftentimes by just your presence, maybe not bringing gifts, not even saying much, just physically being next to someone. Well,
yeah.
well done. Todd, I'm going to give you the last word in just a second here. I'd be remiss if I didn't have you do a shout-out for your lovely wife, Val. You've been married these 24 years, but let me first emphasize for our Great News Radio listeners, the date is December 18th and 19th from 6 to 8 p.m., in Loda, 170 North, 800 East Road. It's a nativity, a live production of the Christmas story with lots of different animals. It's going to be a fun event, and there will be an opportunity, if you want, as you drive through, to make a donation for an orphanage in Mexico. The English version means House of Life and Hope, but what's the Spanish version one more time, Todd?
Casa Vida y Esperanza.
All right. So how about closing out with an encouraging word for Val? And I should point out to our listeners, they're holding hands. In fact, after yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, they said this was kind of like a date, and I think this was really good for the family, and the children were all beaming when they were telling their love story. And it's just wonderful when you have a godly couple that puts God first, and they mentioned it. And if you missed a portion of the broadcast or yesterday's edition of Mark and Friends, they are archived at greatnewsradio.org. But they both took the time when they were walking early on with the Lord to say, hey, we're in love, we appreciate each other, but we got to make sure this is of God. And so they spent like 8 or so months away from each other. And then when they really had confirmation on where they were in their own walk with the Lord and that God was leading them together, it was a little bit over a year and a half after that, that they got married. And that has stuck 25 years. And it's probably because, Todd, you've honored Val, but what would be two or three characteristics that you just love about her?
Well, one thing I really love about my wife is that clearly her love for the Lord is first. And when she's an early riser, and I see her a lot spending time contemplating the Lord's will in her life, and that is super special for me as a husband to see that groundedness and to see how important that is to her. So that, and her ability to communicate and express herself, is super special for me too. Really, she's a wonderful lady, and I know with 100% confidence that God knew that I needed her, and he gave me a very special wife. I just love her dearly.
And all of the Cabe children said...
Amen.
Amen. All right. Trying to orchestrate that one. Yeah. Wasn't quite as good as our close yesterday where we all said, thank you. All right.
Okay. So Mark didn't ask for this, but I just thought I'd like to do a shout out for Todd too. Just like to say that in our marriage, I think something that's been really important is trust. So if you can build your marriage on trust in God and trust in each other, that's something that just really works.
Yeah. And for women, that whole issue of safety and feeling cared for and being able to trust is huge.
Yeah.
And so, well done, Todd. Husbandry 102, you passed that one too. So, all right, everyone. The date is December 18th and 19th from 6 to 8 p.m. at the Old Farmstead located in Loda, 170 North, 800 East Road, live nativity. And there's going to be a good cause attached to it. It's totally free, and it's a drive-through, so it'll be really easy. And if you want to support a great missionary work that's happening in Mexico, they're helping orphans, and it's called House of Life and Hope. And I'll have Todd, what's the official name?
Casa Vidi Esperanza.
Casa Vidi Esperanza. All right, we're getting a little better there. All right, thanks for tuning in. Hey, thanks for being with me, everyone.
Thank you.
All right. Thanks for listening. Thanks for being a part of this radio listening family. This is Mark Burns with the Ministry of Great News Radio. God bless you, and have a great day and night.